It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Listen to this. Listen to this. Sean in Hillsboro says, "You bastards, I heard Stevie respond to the placenta comment with a grunt." He claims that I got the placenta comment in, and it's
Given
Steven
my
Seagal.
Microphones were still on, one of us probably grunted.
Why would you grunt in response
because
to the...
Because you had already put them on hold, because you hit it, and then you said it.
All right.
I swear I heard Tim grunting over here.
Let's see. What else? I have to vote against you. You didn't get it in. Blah, blah, blah. Don't be a weasel. Yeah, okay, fine. Rick, I don't know who sounds more... This email is from our good friend Boba Fett. Or the Fett Man, as he's taken to calling himself. You can't do that. Rick, I don't know who sounds more in the downward spiral of their career, Steven Seagal or the one-man Star Wars guy. They both sound like life has ended for both of them, and they're just waiting to take that short drop and quick stop at the end of the gallows. Great interview. Signed, I swear to God, the Fett Man. So there you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Well, Jim Roop is coming. We got nothing done. We got the iPod story. That's it. Should we?
Remember what it was about.
I don't remember either. Nike and iPod. Should we just do the story?
We should just do the new news hour now.
But it's
that would be wonderful.
But it's like 1 hour. All right, fine. Okay, go ahead.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour.
Doesn't make any sense.
Now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
Makes no sense at all.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk Newsbeat. The 1 o'clock noontime edition. Tim Riley reporting. A minor protest greeted Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice at Boston College yesterday. She was given an honorary Doctor of Laws degree and delivered the commencement speech.
There is nothing wrong with holding an opinion and holding it passionately. But at those times when you're absolutely sure that you are right, go find somebody who disagrees.
Okay. By the way, somewhere, people are calling in, I do have somewhere the top five songs, Condoleezza Rice's favorite top five, her, you know, personal top five songs or whatever. You gave that to me. So I have three top fives. I don't even know if we'll get to one today because of the whole, quote, Steven Seagal. By the way, I want to say that we're now 33 minutes. Since we requested that Susan Reynolds from CBS Marketing call us. Susan's a big listener of the show, was before we came here, listens all the time, every day, set up the, quote, Steven Seagal interview, hadn't called us back. Not around, not answering the phone, not answering her cell, doesn't matter. Not there, Sam, we'll find her, we'll fix her little red wagon. I have three different top fives. I have the Condoleezza Rice's top five, I have top five songs most likely to get stuck in your head, and some other one. Do we have more Condi news?
No, that's it for her.
All right, let's take a couple of these. I'm sorry, it's me. I gotta do that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Tony.
It's who?
Tony.
Hi, Tony. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say, man, during that Seagal interview, yeah. I was listening. I listened to headphones all day while I'm working.
Yeah.
And after he said that, you could hear him say goodbye.
Ah! After I got the placenta comment out, I said blah, 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 placenta, and he said goodbye?
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. In your faces, everybody who's not
I
me.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, Tim, the dispassionate, skeptical pundit. No, I don't believe that's the case, Tony. All right. Well, see, clearly we're going to have to wait for somebody to rustle up the recording of this later. But you, Tony, you're in my corner. You heard it.
I did. If just somebody's got a recording, it'll bear out.
All right, okay, there you go. This is like Clyde and the Zapruder footage.
We never have the recorded stuff, like when I was right about the firehouse last week.
Oh, no, I had somebody.
Is that here somewhere?
Thank you, Tony. I had somebody send that to me. Poor Tony said they were listening on the headphones at work, trying to keep your composure at work during. That's all I could do to keep my composure. Which I think, by the way, you bastards, I deserve some sort of special award.
That was pretty impressive
for not losing it, especially because I answered the phone and. You know, and it's like, hey, Rick. And I'm all thinking, hey, great interview. This isn't Steven. This is Trevor. Or what?
The guy who's going to be playing the part of
This is Miles. Did you say Miles Copeland? Didn't he play for the police? Anyway, and so he goes, I'll have to pass you to Steven. And then there's like a lot of... And then it's just a lot... and I thought the phone was turned down. I'm like, turn it up. And he's, this is Stan. And it's like one of those ghost recordings in The Sixth Sense.
I thought he was going to clear his throat and then talk in a normal voice.
No, there was no normal voice. And so we get
every email I've received, nobody thinks that was actually him.
Why would they have a fake Steven Seagal call me? Who would do that?
It's never been tried before.
Maybe because he needs the promotion, but he hates radio interviews.
If you were going to hire somebody to pretend to be you, would you hire whoever that was? For that to be your public image? That's like hiring some girl with clubfoot to play you in public. Seriously. Who are you? Aaron Dillon? You know? Really? I want to kiss. I mean, why would you...
I want to be cremated by the Neptune Society.
What?
Sounds like he was down to his last few breaths.
Okay. Yeah, and so we'll get back to the news in a second, but we get like...
Oh, no hurry.
Not like Tim prepares. Like, he's been working for an hour before the show.
Who could have seen
this
coming?
I'm sorry, Tim.
I'm just saying, I deserve credit because they transfer the phone to, quote, Steven Seagal, and he goes... And then as soon as he starts grunting and wheezing his hellos to us, Tim and Sarah realize what's happening and just lose it completely. You don't get to see this. Lose all composure, and I am standing out here with my business in the wind trying to keep it together on the air. Dozens of people listening to me while I'm trying to... So, anyway, guy who sounds like he's on a ventilator...
He's on the 420 bus on the way to St. John's.
Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Well, you can be sure there are a lot of ticked-off war veterans across this great land today in the wake of the theft of millions and millions of military veterans' personal data files.
Whoever stole that disk in the first place needs to be a little more than reprimanded and kick in the butt in plain old English.
Oh, this is what that is, like 26 million.
Their names, social security numbers, and birthday.
And they were just like, somebody just took them home.
Yeah.
Somebody just, I'll just take this and keep it at home next to the bread. All right, there you go. Rick, Miles, and listen to this, you bastards, Miles Copeland. Somebody here has sent me a link to milescopeland.com. He apparently does produce world music, so that it could be him. Now, like, you got to ask
we
yourself.
We should be excited that we actually had Miles Copeland.
I was going to say, you have to ask yourself, what would be sadder? If it was not Steven Seagal, or if it really was Steven Seagal? All right,
you know it was. It has to be.
It's Tim Riley.
Hey, this sounds like a great idea. The U.S. Army is researching the prospect of deploying blimps to Iraq. Both for surveillance as well as troop transport.
How could that go wrong?
If you want to move them in a hurry, why not have these great big balloons that nobody's going to bother as they're heading into Iraq? Apparently, the Defense Department is scheduling a competition between two big countries to build these giant blimps. They'll award $3 million to the lucky winner. And who's in the running here? Oh, Lockheed Martin, imagine that. And another small California firm. Right. And by the way, a fleet of blimps could cost us $11 billion.
As long as our money's being spent wisely. All right, there you go. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Oh, it's Diana from downtown.
You're not going to pile on here, are you?
Well, I have to admit, this is obviously why we sent all those coffee mugs in. This is classic radio. This is classic Emerson.
Yeah, this is one of those moments when CBS really is glad they invested in this program. I'm unable to keep it together while interviewing someone who's 150 years old.
People walk by my office and try and figure out why I'm cackling like a balloon.
I get the feeling he wasn't even able to hold the phone. Like, he was sort of laying on the bed, and the phone was sort of laid down next to his mouth, and it was all out of, yes.
Well, maybe he had too much by soda.
Listen to that. Listen to you slipping in a plug for one of our many paying clients here at the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you. All right, there you go.
Talk to you soon.
Diana. All right. You know what Diana kind of sounds like when she cackles? It's kind of like that Warner Brothers splitter hair. You know that? You know what I'm talking about? I don't mean that in a disparaging way. She just kind of has that great cackle. Let's move on. At least she sounds like her. At least it sounds like she, you know. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
this is Rick. Hey, this is Steven Seagal.
Stop. Stop now. Yeah, okay, thanks.
I was looking forward to it going further.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not easy. Not easy to put Steven Seagal on the phone. We're now...
Now he's making prank calls to your show.
Now 45 minutes since we've asked Susan Reynolds from CBS Marketing to call the show and talk to us about the glory of Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal.
So do we get like free tickets or anything to give away for his show since we haven't
heard? I don't know. I have no idea. Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing great. I got an interesting fact for you. Thunderbox is actually Australian slang for toilet.
Really?
Yes.
Why would you call your band Steven Seagal and toilet?
Seems a little odd, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does.
That's a pretty cool name for a toilet, though.
I suppose, although it does...
To the Thunderbox.
It does make you wonder exactly what their diet consists of in Australia.
Exactly.
All right.
I got that off of the slang site, so...
All right, Chris. Okay, but the question is, while you're here, the question is, did I or did I not get the placenta phrase in Under the Wire?
Oh, clearly you made it.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about right there. There you go. Thank you, Chris. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Oh, you know what? There's probably a big traffic jam out there right now at I-5 and I-205 because today the Vietnam Wall Experience, a two-thirds scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, is coming up the I-5. And it'll end up at the junction of I-205 any moment now. The memorial will then travel north in I-205 to Johnson Creek Boulevard, exit 16. And besides that, it's being escorted by 3,000 motorcycles. So there'll be a major traffic.
It's good thing they were conserving oil. And how ironic is that, by the way, that they're transporting the Vietnam Wall Memorial with 3,000 motorcycles, which uses in abundance the thing that's getting everybody shot at right now. And will result in you, if you are a member of the National Guard, being sent to Iraq and Afghanistan to be to be shot at. There you go. That's the irony and wit of the United States government, is only they can really convey it. It's like talking about traffic, it's like talking about the weather. But man, Jim, I was on Powell this morning because I drove like an idiot. Here I am. It's a stupid oil, but using it. I drove.
How was the weather there?
It was terrible. So Sarah bicycled because she's a good person. Tim took the max, she's a good person. I drove like a fat...
I just couldn't take another day on the bus. I would rather be soaking wet and come to work on my bike than like be trapped on that bus again.
And when you get off the bus, especially when it's raining, you know what it is? It's like you ever, your dog runs out in the rain, you hug your dog, and of course then you smell like a wet dog the rest of the day. You ride the bus, you just stink. You stink like fat homeless people the rest of the day. Riding in the bus when it rains is like riding inside a wet sausage casing.
And it just gets more and more packed because they get on 39th and Hawthorne, you know, where...
Yes, I know all about...
Where all the stinky lives, and it's just all sandwiched around me.
It's like riding inside some sort of a fetid sock. But I drove this morning, and then I'm going on Powell, and traffic has just stopped. And do you ever do that thing when you're driving on the road? Traffic has stopped, and then at some point, the traffic just starts moving moving freely again for no reason. And you realize that all the traffic was going at a snail's pace for no goddamn earthly reason at all. There was actually nothing stopping people. They were just driving like idiots. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Going once. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, I've gone into the wormhole, and I've pulled up the audio of the end of the interview.
All right. Can you send that to us?
No, I can play it to you over the phone. Look, I'm low-tech. I leave all the mastery to you guys.
All your tech mastery goes into being able to call in anytime you want to kick other people off the phone line.
All my resources are geared towards that.
All right, so you have... Okay. So what are you gonna hold the phone up to the radio?
Yeah, and you're just gonna have to... I'm gonna have to pull the phone away and ask you if you've heard it, all right?
Columbia Broadcasting System Technology is its finest, like a $5 billion company.
I haven't even heard this myself.
We're now gonna hold the phone. Now, has this tape that you're going to play has been doctored or altered in any way?
None whatsoever.
All right, so
I haven't even had time to listen to it. I just know that she asked, now, what was the name of your album again? And that's where I...
Yeah, listen, then let's talk about this for a second. So I'm doing the interview.
You know what? We had to wrap it up. Ed McCarthy was calling.
Yes, because Lord knows we've never bumped Ed McCarthy before. Here's the thing, is people have asked me why when I heard the music I didn't just blurt out the phrase. And here's the thing, is I'm a professional.
Oh, yeah.
I am... You bastards, I am a professional. I care about a quality product.
Yeah, and that's why you blurted it out 10 seconds after?
Well, I'm just saying, I wanted Steven Seagal to take away from this interview that the Rick Emerson Show is a place where he's treated with respect. Part of the whole
deserving of said respect as well.
Yeah, yes, and so, and I didn't get, you know, because it would give the game away. Because I want you to note what I have never done. Because we have this ongoing contest that we do where I got to work in these phrases during the interview. You will note that I have never done the cheap trick of just starting an interview by saying, "Hello, Steven Seagal, I would like to say this. Trojan implosion, would you like to touch my placenta and plastic pants?" Because that, even I know that that would just be a sissy way to win. That would just, it would not be in keeping with the
morning
spirit.
Show humor.
That's what I'm saying. That would just be beneath us. And so... But,
no, you are very clever in your craft. I could never... work in the
I'm gonna make you do it. So I think you should have to do it.
God, no. No,
I'll raise the stakes, though. I'll triple like whatever the bet is. I'll make it like a 10-1.
No,
bet.
I'm fully willing to admit that you have a particular skill for doing that.
Mm-hmm. But so like when we get towards the end of the interview and I'm like, so anyway, as I work my way towards the fifth and final phrase, ensuring my victory over Sarah, what do I hear? Suddenly the music starts playing. Sarah's to begin to talk block me once again. Just the whole, so, Steven Seagal, thanks, gotta wrap it up, gotta go. What's the name of your album? And what am I gonna do at that point? So I roll with the punches, go with the flow, like the broadcast professional that I am, and I say, yes, thank you, it's been a great, thank you, Steven Seagal. It's been a great interview, blah, da, da, blah, da, blah. And then right at the end, as a parting sort of a hey-o or a... whatever, you know, like you know, just like throwing it out, like you know, just like a wrapping up observation, like a final thought, like a final observation. I throw out the, "Would you like to touch my placenta?" And then,
and by the way, I can attest that that was indeed Steven Seagal, because he used to be affiliated with a multi-level company of which I heard about, and he is often too cool for the room.
He didn't even sound too cool. He didn't sound alive enough for the room. all right, so are you
gonna roll tape then, right?
All right, so go ahead, roll tape. Hold the phone up to the. You know, a couple actually has a machine that records their radio program.
I also have an onion on my belt.
Thank you.
But then I'll come back to you and see if you heard it. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, here we go.
All right, if people.
Thank you so much for calling. Wait, what was the name of your album again?
See, here's the blocking.
It's called Mojo Priest. All right, Steven Seagal, the...
Listen to me, rolling with the punches.
Mojo Priest, the website is stevenseagal.com. Dante's Sunday, May 28th. Go to stevenseagal.com for more information, or go to Dante's. Steven Seagal, thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the album. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you so much. Would you like to touch my placenta?
I hear a grunt.
Yeah, Rick Emerson Show.
There was a grunt at the end. I heard him grunt.
No.
He called you Bruce, too.
He didn't...
Thank you, Bruce.
That seems inconclusive at best.
They do call me Bruce. What?
What's the verdict?
I heard... Yes, can we listen to it over and over and over again?
Yeah, okay, one more time.
Okay,
here we go.
Right, okay, fine.
It's called Mojo Priest.
All right, Steven Seagal, the album is called Mojo Priest. The website is stevenseagal.com. Dante's Sunday, May 28th. Go to stevenseagal.com for more information, or go to Dante's. Steven Seagal, thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the album. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you so much. Would you like to touch my placenta?
Right there!
Hold on. The music came up just as you clicked that. Had that been any other sound, you wouldn't have heard anything.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
I think you forgot to do the placenta touching.
I did. It's right there. You can hear it. You can hear me saying it.
Yeah, I want Sarah to OD as much as the next man, but this is not the way to do it.
I don't believe that over the phone we
you
can
want me to
judge.
OD?
Yes.
No. Not.
I don't believe that we can judge this audio over the phone. I believe that is not the fidelity and clarity are not sufficient.
Yeah, because it shows you didn't.
No, all I heard. Who can tell?
I think that was Tim grunting in the background.
It may have been. But you really couldn't tell because the music came up too loud at that point when you hit that button. So because of the volume of the music,
it can't be discerned at this point, is what you're saying. You, Tim,
do you want to give it one more shot?
No, please, no, not again.
All right. Well, I'm going to bid farewell.
All right. Thank you, George.
Take care.
All right. There you go. All right. So, Tim, is it your professional opinion that it is the jury's still out?
No.
You can't prejudice his opinion.
I stand by my original statement,
which is
because I saw that button click as that music was brought up.
Yeah.
I'm judging my observations from audio.
You know, there's
presentation
like those,
also.
I was like those people on Clyde show that you claim that they saw, you know, like an alien bursting out of their, you know, grandfather's spleen or something. You can't. Who can say?
The light can
play tricks.
You, like desperately screaming it after you say after he
I'm
says
saying.
Goodbye, Bruce.
The only goodbye, Bruce. I think he does actually. The only question is whether he was still on. We don't even have a webcam here.
He was not. You heard the click.
You can't hear the click. The click would not be audible. Do we have to break?
Yes.
Worst show ever. And best show ever. All right. By the way, we're now coming up on 55 minutes since we asked Susan Reynolds from CBS Marketing to give us a call. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, senior radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, we may or may not get to the top five. We may or may not get to the Darwin Watch, Snub Watch. We got to talk about horns across the Hawthorne. You stay there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. Yes, it is. It's the Rick Emerson Show. How's that Sarah sandwich doing there, Sarah? Yeah. Don't choke. Choke, 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 choke. Hello, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Yeah, a lot of fun, isn't it? Trying to make your mouth to operate while somebody's standing across from you making the choke sign. All right. 503.
I am impressed. You are a professional.
You can,
I saw how Tim, well, I'm rolling around on the ground. Tim, you know, you don't see Tim break very much, and he's laughing.
It's 503-733-2970. Did dinners leave?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll go back to the city desk here in just a moment. I guess this is now the noon news hour. We also have a CNN correspondent, Jim Roop, here. Rick, this email says, I did a movie-style spit take when you delivered the plastic pants line. Very nice delivery and composure. By the way, you did not get the placenta line in. Sorry, pal, says Keith. Okay, it's 503. It's 503-733-2970. Hey, I've got some lines for Sarah to work into the an interview the next time she does it. Sarah has to say blood hot and stringy milk. See, that's what I'm saying. See, the next time we get an interview, I really believe we got to flip for it to see who has to do this.
No, that's why you make the big bucks. That's why it's not the Sarah Dillon Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
I couldn't do it.
All right. What's that?
I don't think you make the big bucks.
No, it's...
I don't think any of us do.
No, it's all for just the... But the perks of interviewing Steven Seagal make it worth it. Let's see. Let's see. What else? Rick, why would he call you Bruce? This doesn't make any sense. My head hurts. All right. Rick, now that was a riveting hour of radio we can all be proud of. Be sure to save this for when you need a job. Yes. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We got more calls. More Tim Riley. Top five. We got to talk about this horns across the Hawthorne thing, but we're still waiting on audio of the show.
I went online and looked for Steven Seagal audio and was unsuccessful.
You were unable to find
it. Just go to his MySpace page.
But I mean, but him singing though.
Yeah, we don't want him singing.
No, we want him speaking. Because you can never tell, like sometimes like Mel Tillis, you know, he speaks one way and sings another. I want like for a control group in the lab, you know. Mm-hmm. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kurt.
What's up?
I don't think he said Bruce. I think he said brother.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, see? Bruce just wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think he said brother. And then about the motorcycles, don't motorcycles get like 100 miles to the gallon? So isn't it better that motorcycles are bringing the monuments?
About what motorcycles? Oh, that was like an hour ago, dude. What are you actually...
it was 20 minutes ago. You took an hour to give me the phone number again.
Oh!
Speed dial.
Oh, all right. All right, sorry.
And then I don't think that was... Actually, I don't think it was Steven Seagal. I think it was Phil Hendry.
Seriously? Totally. That was like his going away. He's on tour.
Yeah, he's just posing as all sorts of actors and calling in, doing voices.
Seriously, that's a good gimmick. You know, if that wasn't him, somebody else should do that. Somebody else should actually make that their publicity gimmick for their upcoming show.
I hope we don't end up on some zany PM Drive radio show somewhere with that.
All right, thank you, sir.
Sure thing.
All right, there you go. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I don't even know the hell I'm doing. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles.
Jim Roop.
How are you, Jim?
I'm well. Good afternoon, sir.
You know, I could try to bring you up to speed with what's been happening on today's program, but it does see it. Has Sarah told you anything about what we've been going through today?
No, but listening to you, my head would explode if you tried.
I got to tell you, have you ever met Steven Seagal?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay, now this you can help out with this then, because now, apparently, he's not just an actor and a martial artist. Apparently, Steven Seagal, according to his press material, wait for it, hold on. According to his press info, Steven Seagal is a blues legend, and he is huge in France. And he's had two albums debut at number one in France.
Really?
Yes, it is. It is true.
That is the French, you know.
Now, we were offered yesterday this interview with Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Our marketing woman said, would you like to talk to Steven Seagal on the phone at 12:15? And I, of course, said, yes, why not? What could possibly go wrong? So a man claiming to be Steven Seagal called the program today at 12:20 and spoke to us for about 10 minutes. And I don't know anybody who does a lot of heroin. And, of course, I'm not saying that Steven Seagal in any way takes any sort of drug. I'm just saying, behaviorally speaking, in terms of delivery and energy, it really sounded like, imagine Ernest Borgnine at about 200 years old, laying in a hospital bed somewhere, barely able to recognize his own relatives, trying to conduct a radio interview.
Is he in France, and is that where he called you?
I have no idea where he called us from. Sarah, would you please be imitating Steven Seagal here a little bit for Jim Roop, just so you can...
I can't. You nailed it, though, when you do it.
It was just, okay, I answered the phone, and I said, hey, let's... And I gave this big build-up. It was all of, hey, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, blues legend, actor Steven Seagal. And then they handed the phone to him, and he's sort of a...
Hi, Rick. This is Steven Seagal.
I'm not exaggerating.
I just checked into the Betty Ford Clinic.
And Tim and Sarah immediately start bursting into peals of laughter in the background. I'm having to hold it together for like 10 minutes to try to talk to Steven Seagal, who could kick my ass.
And no, he couldn't.
The whole interview was, well, I don't know now. It sounded like he might just be a head sitting in a bed somewhere. His whole, it was like a lot of,
well, Rick, I grew up in the Delta.
And, like, trying to tell me how he's, like, covering a lot of Muddy Waters songs. And it was insane. There's just no way to convey to you how weird it was. So, when you met him, what was it like?
Well, he was on his way to that Marlon Brando thing. He was getting big at the time that I interviewed him.
And you don't mean in terms of stardom?
No, nowhere near. He was going the other way in the stardom category, which is probably why I got to him.
So as stardom went down, belt size went up.
Size went up.
Yeah.
Several inches. And they get an elastic belt. I think, I didn't use more than 18 seconds of the 10 and a half minutes I talked with him.
Yeah, see, that's...
A lot of it was incoherent. A lot of it I didn't make any sense, and I couldn't find a place to use it.
It was him then.
So I think we might have actually had him. Those are all kind of ringing true now.
Well, this was several years ago. This may have been 5-6 years ago.
Well, I don't really know that he's been on an upward swing since then, Jim.
In France, apparently, he is.
I think that maybe he saves his...
Tower, man.
Maybe he saves his energy for the French. Maybe he just sort of phones it in for us, both literally and figuratively. So did my impersonation of him just now, or that of...
It was pretty close to what he sounded like when I talked with him. He's very, very soft-spoken. As if he was making a statement with how quiet he was talking.
That was kind of it. I was going to say, soft-spoken doesn't really do it justice. It sounded like it actually was painful for him to move his lips. And so it was a whole of, can I talk of that lips at all?
It may have been.
And imagine like if you didn't just have one lung, like if you had part of one lung, and you just run a marathon.
Well, remember, in Above the Law, he was in a coma for several years. So
he's a method actor. Oh, God damn. All right, well, whatever. So, hey, is it we got a 3-day weekend coming up?
Yes, we do.
I don't, but some people do.
I don't either, because we're nose to the grindstone here at CBS Radio. We present the entertainment to the people 5 days a week, regardless, because we care, while others do not.
And well, I present the news 5 days a week, regardless of whether there's news or not.
Now, are you going to be available on Monday?
Sure.
That's what I'm talking. Listen to that. That's what I'm talking about right there. While others are playing best of, the boring people with tedious fill-in hosts.
Best of, Roop, go ahead. See, there's an earthquake several years ago. I covered that.
You should totally do, on Monday, we should totally have you do best of Roop news. You should just cover some old crap. That's a great idea. All right. So, anyway, so according to the CNN prep sheet this morning, apparently, blah, 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 Americans are being encouraged not to, listen to this, Americans are being encouraged not to let the war in Iraq dampen their weekend vacation plans.
Really?
In exactly what way do you suppose the war in Iraq would be dampening my weekend vacation plans if I had them?
I think if you're in Iraq, that's the only way it's going to dampen
them. Probably. And it doesn't seem like much that we're going to do right now is going to cheer those guys up.
No, don't think
so. So there's a whole lot of nothing here.
Well, if you had to take a gas in L.A., you might make it to Pacoima. That's about it.
That's it, man. So, I mean, so I guess there's just the gas thing. But you know what? People are going to fork over the money for gas anyway. It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. And what the experts are saying, and by experts, I mean...
Some guy you found this morning.
The economist, the chief economist for the L.A. County Economic Development Corporation, whose job it is to market this area, says people should not be afraid to spend, because even though it costs you a little bit more on gas to get where you're going, once you're there, there'll be deals to be had. You know, whether it be the destination, the hotel has special offers, or Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm or whatever has a special ticket price. I haven't seen those special ticket prices.
No.
Well, you says it'll balance out.
Yeah, true. You're gonna...
You can refinance your debt, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just pawn something that belongs to your grandmother. Tim, are you going to Vegas this weekend?
I am, yes.
That's this weekend? Was it cheaper to fly? Was it... Did it look like they were discounting?
Oh, I make sure it's cheap to fly.
Yeah, baby. Priceline.
No. Expedia has better, is much better for the Portland area.
That's what my wife Travelocity. Does, actually.
You know, Travelocity isn't as cheap as it used to be.
That's my wife, I think, does Expedia. Mm-hmm. She had to go to Utah unexpectedly. That's always fun. And so
Utah unexpectedly?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a family thing she's down there for. And so, it, like, on the one hand, you know, it interrupts her whole life. She's got to go down to Utah. B... it's kind of, her dad's kind of under the weather, and so she went down to see him. So B, it's like a bad scene, and then like C, like they jack you for like $700 to fly to Provo. You know what I mean? It's like paying someone to come and like punch you in the face. So, well, that's the end of this. I have nothing else, Jim. I have nothing else to bring up.
I enjoyed it immensely, though, sir.
All right. So, well, you for clarifying the Steven Seagal thing alone, we appreciate it.
Well, you know, he was very strange, and I haven't requested an interview with him since.
We joined his MySpace page, though. We're now friends on MySpace.
We asked him to. I don't know if he's going to accept it.
Maybe he might decline it, though. I don't think... at one point, I won't bore you with all the details, but long story short, Sarah and I have this thing that we do during guest interviews. It's a bet that we place about phrases that I have to sneak into the interview.
And, I love that.
And so we have... There's always five phrases that I got to sneak into the interview, and one of the phrases this time was... I'm looking at this now. One of the phrases was, "Hey, Steven Seagal, the rumor mill goes that you and Kenny G are best friends." And at that point,
he got so mad.
You could hear that he was becoming angered at me. And
you could hear one of his eyes open.
So, you know, there you go. So that's it. That's it, brother. That's all I got.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop.
He cleared his throat three times in that response.
Did you remember the beginning? Like, he cleared his throat, and, like, I thought, like, okay, here he goes. He's going to be...
Here comes some genius.
Here, he's going to be full voice. And it was, like, a lot of... All right, good. Wait, hold on a second. All right. You know, I'm just... Rick, he said goodbye, brother, at the end, just before you snuck in the placenta question. See, I did sneak it in. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Oh, are we back to that again?
I don't know.
We might as well. We're just here killing time today. Well, a man whose behavior caused a flight from Orlando to be diverted to Charlotte, and who wouldn't want to be there, has been sentenced to 7 months in prison. Mark McGowan is accused of urinating in an airplane aisle and lighting a cigarette during a November flight to Washington. His unruly behavior led the pilot of the United Airlines flight to land the plane in Charlotte. Well, he warned them, if he didn't stop it, this plane's going to land in Charlotte, and he meant it. The plane and its 117 passengers then continue. He has to pay $7,000. And speaking of North Carolina, I wish I had a visual aid for this one.
Oh, is this it? Okay, no, I have it on my site.
Okay.
Okay, so this is... Bar none. This is the worst photograph you will see all week. And there's no blood, there's no nudity, there is nothing, it is completely safe for work.
Yes.
I urge you now to go to rickemerson.com, as Sarah Dillon is doing. Click on visual aid for today's story. I'm going to wait for Sarah to do so. Click on visual aid, it's today's blog entry at rickemerson.com.
Oh.
Yeah, look at that.
Is that a Band-Aid?
Yep, it sure is.
I believe it's a fleshy nub.
Oh. It looks like a Band-Aid holding her glasses together.
It's hard to tell. It's the same color as your skin.
She looks like the lady who runs the school cafeteria, doesn't she?
Yeah, so she's the bus driver in South Park. All right, so kids, go to rickemerson.com, click on the visual aid, and now listen to this story.
This woman is 44 years old. She's taking such good care of herself. She's from North Carolina.
Of course.
And she was arrested Wednesday on charges she carried on a month-long sexual relationship with a 13-year-old boy. Linda McBride arrested at the Winston-Salem home she shared.
She's found in one of her folds.
With the child's grandmother, who cops said is a friend of McBride.
Oh.
McBride is facing two counts of statutory rape.
You know, the grandmother must have known about it.
And an indecent liberties rap.
Imagine. What?
An indecent liberties rap. That's what it says.
Oh,
here.
I thought a liberty rap. W-R-A-P. I thought it was
maybe she's making a record about that.
I thought that was code for something. Imagine, like, having your grandmother set you up with that one. You know, I got this friend Gladys. What's her name?
Her name is Linda McBride.
I got this friend Linda. She needs a man. Imagine being in a house with that woman and your grandmother, and you're having a sexual relationship with that woman, and your grandmother is privy to the whole thing. There's no... And I mean, maybe that's a Band-Aid. Maybe it's part of her face. I don't know. You do hear every so often about those fat people where the skin is just growing around the glasses. So
she's kind of like Gilbert Grape's mother.
The best part this morning, though, was when I showed Tim this and he physically recoiled. Like it was like dangling a dead baby in front of somebody. Like Tim walked in, I said, hey, look at this. And Tim actually... You can't really, but imagine him suddenly pulling back like a foot away and giving like a, it was just like an actual physical, like a visceral response from this woman's photograph. Yeah, the goggles do nothing. All right, there you go.
So she's being held on a $50,000 bond.
Ugh. Rick, Stephen is, of course, actually saying, thank you, brother. It's just that Mumbles McMarble Mouth doesn't speak very clearly. And that's Todd the Corpse, by the way, who said that, Stephen Seagal. I treated you with respect, and so forth.
So did anyone send you a clearer version?
I'm sorting through my email right now. Yeah. The email really is pouring in. Let's see, we've got this. This email comes to us from Aaron.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Rick, I cannot believe how well you kept it together, says Aaron Geek in the City. I was listening at work. My coworker thought I was having a seizure as I tried and failed to keep from laughing out loud. As always, you were professional and smooth. Too bad your ass got owned, or pwned. Dude, you blew it. You can't hang up. Wait for Mr. Seagal's goodbye and then drop in placenta. Make sure you wear gloves when you do those push-ups on the bridge. I'm not doing any... There's no push-ups going to be happening on a bridge.
Yeah, how about a handstand?
You know what's not going to be happening is me taking away push-ups because you got 4 out of 5.
Okay, well, what...
That's a solid 10. We had a bet.
What bridge are we talking about? I'm not doing these during the horns on the Hawthorne, the horns over the Hawthorne thing.
This is the deal.
One bridge over troubled waters, I can tell.
It was just a little boom thing.
There you go. That's not going to be happening.
Oh.
In no way.
Oh, I'm sorry. And when did you have a say in your push-ups?
Because we haven't even determined that I didn't get the thing in yet.
Okay, well, when we determine.
All right. All right, let's get a couple of these calls and we'll go back to Tim Riley. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. This is Dante the cab driver.
Dante the cab driver. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Dude, you only got 4 out of 5, okay? The placenta thing was too late.
You don't know that. You're speaking with... You have in...
Okay, Deb, I'm listening all day long. I am stuck in a car. I have the surround sound. You missed it, and you got to do, like, 2 push-ups for missing 1 out of 5, and Sarah gets to drink 2 bottles of water. What? That's how it should go.
So, like, a splitting the difference kind of a thing?
Dude, you totally scored on all 4 of the ones that...
He did.
And that was...
And with Tim and Sarah giggling in the background and with... Now, because here's the thing, is because we go to take the call Do you know how tempting it was to say this? To say, is this really Steven Seagal?
It was so strange to hear Steven Seagal, in quotes. I thought it was like Will Ferrell from Mad TV doing his Steven Seagal impression in the interview.
Because we all thought the same thing. It's like I pick up, the phone, and the guy goes, and I look at Tim and Sarah, and I could tell we all had the same thought at once, which is, this is not really Steven Seagal on the phone. This is someone winding us up, as they say. This is someone screwing with us. And
this is Mumbly Blues Man. I'm mumbly if I do the blues.
But there's no way I can't ask that. I can't say, hey, is this really Steven Seagal? Because then if it is, he's going to hang up. That's the thing. If I'd asked that, he would have ended the call. So,
dude, are you serious? No.
All right.
No, but you get two push-ups. Sarah gets, she knows four. She gets to drink 8 bottles of water, but don't do it, Sarah, because I love you and I don't want you to die.
She's not going to die.
She's not going to die.
All right, thank you, sir.
The hypercapnosis and the
hydration
and all that whatnot is going to take her out.
But wait, hold on just 1 second. Okay, there you go.
God, you're a jerk.
I'm not. I have to get rid of that. She's not going to die. She's not going to die from too much caffeine.
You know what? I'm the only one who knows how to run this board for a reason.
Who what?
Who knows how to run this board for a reason. Who knows what I've labeled everything in the computer.
You can't be job security. Here's Tim Riley.
This comes to us from Florida.
Oh, wait. Oh, Florida. Florida, the home of, with the things and the, there you go.
Well, hunters in Florida are being given more time to track down and kill alligators. The State Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission approved a 4-week extension of the annual gator hunting season, which will now run through November the 1st. Now, more than 4,000, that's 4,000 gator hunting permits will be made available to residents and non-residents alike. So if you want to kill a gator, now is the time. These go on sale June 15th. The chargers who first proposed back in February when these things started eating people. And long before this month, deadly gator attacks killed 3 other people in different parts of the state. Full details of the hunting program can be found at myfwc.com/gators.
There you go.
Right now.
We've got this person wants to know, if this is how bad Steven Seagal sounds, what will Don Rickles sound like on the program? I bet Don Rickles will be, I bet he'll switch it on. Again, it's not guaranteed. I shouldn't be tempting fate because it isn't confirmed. But I do think there's a pretty strong likelihood that we're going to have Don Rickles on this program, which is fantastic, by the way. I'm going to bring in my Carson, my Best of Johnny Carson double LP and play some of that Rickles stuff. I'd be willing to wager money right now that Don Rickles he'll sound old, but he always sounded old. I bet Don Rickles is going to turn it on and he's going to be all over it. I bet he will be a fountain of energy. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Well, who would have ever thought Jimmy Hoffa cupcakes would be such a crown pleaser? Well, the Milford Baking Company of Milford, Michigan can't make enough of them. That's just how the FBI is searching for Hoffa's body. The cupcake is unique, featuring a green hand reaching out of the middle of a chocolate cake that's covered with brown frosting and sprinkles to appear like the dirt over his grave. Other businesses are placing Hoffa one-liners in their stores and office windows. Leslie Watson is selling the Funny Hoffa T-shirts for $15 in her art store. And one of the best-selling shirts reads, "The FBI digs Milford. Do you?"
Oh, wait, hold on. That's worth a little... There you go. All right. Let's see. What else do I have here? Just reading all these Seagal emails as they're coming in. Let's see. Did Steven Seagal talk endlessly about playing horseshoes? WTF.
He did mention that.
He did mention
when he was lying on the hammock in his broken down porch in the cell.
Rick, he's seriously going to find you and kick your ass. Good times are coming, says this email. Holy freaking crap. That was the best interview I've ever heard in my life. How many damn boxes of cigars did he smoke before he called in? Who was that laughing in the background? Congratulations on keeping your composure. Stay metal. All right. Let's see.
I'm sorry. I thought my microphone was off.
No, you didn't. No way did
you. Well, these mics don't pick up anything unless you're really close.
Dude, he's hitting the bong so hard. Good God. Guitars and horseshoes. What the F? Keep a straight face. I dare you. All right. Let's see. Get a couple of these and we'll do the city desk and then we'll break. I was gonna spend a whole day talking about the Horns Across the Hawthorne thing, which is 2 weeks away. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Joe again. Hey, Rick. First of all, that was an example of the best broadcast professionalism I have ever heard in my life.
Yes.
I just want to tell you that. Secondly,
it's true. Walter Winchell would be proud. Yeah.
You guys are listening to the wrong audio. What you need to do is you need to go back and listen to the audio of the conversation you had with Sarah where you said you wouldn't, where she talk blocked you the last time and she wouldn't do it this time and you forced her to say no, she wouldn't do it.
Is that true? Did she go on record? Hold on.
But she did.
Did she go on record saying that she wouldn't block me? I don't even remember that. But did she say that?
If you go back and look
at the blur.
Who's got it recorded,
right.
You were talking and you're like, you know, the last time you tried talk blocking me was, I think it was Carrot Top, and you can't do that this time or something to that effect, and she kind of mumbled, yeah, she did, and that she wouldn't do it or something like that.
I don't remember that. Thank you. Thank you for...
The heat of the moment kind of erases it.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate that.
You were completely and totally robbed. She jumped right in. It was jarring the way she jumped in, man. You were robbed, man.
So she said, so as we were doing the beginning of it, so she...
We've got to break.
No, nothing. You don't...
Absolutely. And,
oh, you damn bitch. You can't.
Not only that, so she...
Stop, Rick.
Nowhere in your bet did it mention that she could jump in like that and end the interview early or talk block you, so she violated not only the spirit...
Oh, where'd he go? Oh.
No, no. Oh, I hate you. There's no limit to the amount of hate that I have.
You know the music
for you.
Means we've got to stop talking.
I'm back. I'm over here.